Siding Unlimited, named the best window installers, not just here, but in the whole USA. Get the best. Siding Unlimited, 5-time winner as America's best window installer. For windows you call Siding Unlimited, first and directly, SidingUnlimited.com.
Time to talk all things Brewers with Brewers.com writer, our good friend, it's Adam McKelvey, joining us on the line right now. Hi, Adam.
Hi. Love the roof today. Love the roof.
No real drama in whether the roof is going to be open or not, right? I mean, this is a closed session. It was closed last night, too. I guess it was kind of chilly. I don't know when it's going to be open next.
I mean, play ball in Milwaukee. That's what we do here. It doesn't matter what Mother Nature is doing, right?
Yeah, we had one open roof day, which was actually, it felt like really late, but it wasn't. J.R. Radcliffe, our friend from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, has so much time on his hands that he tracks those things. it'll be a while. But you know what? We go to these other cities. We had it in Tampa a couple days. Cleveland, the weather really didn't play a role, but we were worried about it going in. And now Pittsburgh, shock of all shocks, it looks like there's weather this weekend. And, you know, it, like, dominates your day. And the fans, I know, feel that too, where you're, like, trying to figure out when do we go? What do we do? Do we try to exchange these for another day if we're driving from a long distance? It's really nice here to not have to, and it's why, you know, we've talked about this before. The Brewers are one of the best teams for group sales, and the roof has a lot to do with that because they can draw a group from Madison, and those people can get on a bus from whatever organization and come on by, and they know they're going to get a game. So I love the roof.
Adam McKelvey joining us here in Wisconsin's Midday News. I want to play a cut from Brewers manager Pat Murphy. This is after last night's game. So the Brewers get a win, and all eyes point to, all fingers, I should say, point to William Contreras, who was in the middle of everything last night, right? 4-for-4 from the plate, had a walk, and he's doing this with a broken finger, middle finger on his, on the hand he catches with, right? He's getting 90-mile-an-hour heat thrown at him all game, and he's always playing.
When it's hit a certain way, when he takes a foul ball and then hits his glove, or he swings the bat a certain way and hits the ball off the end, it's very painful. You know, he might have to have surgery after the season, or this will just continue.
How is he playing through this, Adam? Like, this is kind of ridiculous. It's amazing sign of toughness.
He's a madman. They're trying to do things. You know, I wrote about it and took some pictures where they took, you know, if anyone's put on a catcher's glove, you can picture, like, the thumb part of it is, like, stiff. It doesn't really bend. And then the part by your pinky is kind of similar, but it's a little softer. Well, they took the hard stuff that's inside the thumb. They cut up a bunch of catcher's gloves, and they took, like, the hard filling that's in the thumb of one and stuffed it into the pinky of another. And the idea is to avoid the very worst thing, because of the way he puts his fingers in his glove, three fingers basically in what I guess the pinky hole, if you can picture that. He jams all his last three fingers, pinky, ring, and middle into that one spot. And when he catches a foul hit like he did last night, and it catches kind of the pinky side of the glove, you see the glove bend back.
Ooh.
That's the absolute worst one, because it bends that middle finger extremely back, and it's fractured. So you saw him last night. You know, the trainer came out, then he shooes him away, and he continues in the game. And he was on his knees getting ready for the next pitch. And he just looked at the sky, and I asked him last night, I was like, what are you saying to yourself in that instance? And he just says, he looks up and says, God. So he's like praying to the heavens for help for this. But there's basically nothing they can do. I mean, you can't, you know, the glove, it helps a little. They padded the bats, but it's just extremely painful. Now, what Nestor Corridor, the Brewers, kind of one of their catching gurus on staff, said is you can see when he knows it's coming, that's when it's the worst, because it affects the way he catches. It affects the way he hits. He's got to just completely ignore it and swing the bat. And he had all four of his hits last night left the bat at north of 100 miles an hour. So those are okay. When you hit it solid, it's okay. When you hit one not great, not flush, and it falls off, those are the anyone who's just rattled their hands with a wooden bat. That doesn't feel good for anyone. It feels especially bad when you have a broken finger. So, look, he's just got to, like, wear it, and they feel like at 75%, he's better than the alternative because he's one of the best catchers in baseball.
Wow, I can't even imagine. Hey, we're on a good spree. I know it's short, but we just won two games here. The Brewers did. But before that, I mean, at the end of the day, our record is, what, 23-25. Something else that Pat Murphy was talking about, and this was after the game on Saturday, that we know we had a lot of WTMJ fans out there for the cribbage boards, for WTMJ Day and our tailgate party. It was a sold-out crowd. It was packed. It was a blast. But a lot of people went home happy about the cribbage board and not happy about the play. Something that Pat Murphy said was it hurts his heart that our fans probably don't know how hard these guys are trying and how much they care. But something that really touched me, he said, but a crowd like that, a crowd like Saturday night, does the heart good. Can you really feel that? And do the guys feel that? Because sometimes you're in the zone, you don't really realize what's going on, but then other guys kind of take it in. What do you think it is for the Brewers? Do you think they could really feel the crowd Saturday night? And could that have helped and maybe led to some of these wins here?
Oh, there's no doubt that the crowds help. The atmosphere, the energy, the buzz. Players feed off that because 162 games is a lot of baseball games. And they play a lot of games midweek, you know, cities around the country where teams are way under 500 and they play in front of no crowds and you have to create your own energy. That is really difficult to do. And the crowds certainly help. And it's part of the reason the Brewers have been good. They've had good support over the last couple of years. Every player would tell you that. The thing about the trying and the want in baseball, it's like golf. The harder you try in golf, and I've seen Greg, some highlights from Greg, and I know I see this happen in those videos. When you try really hard, it gets really bad. And that's what happened, I think, to this team early is – they had some games where they're not hitting. They're not a team that's going to win with a 3-run homer very often. They just don't hit a lot of homers. They win by being pesky, getting on base, doing things at first to mess with the pitcher, going first to third, bunting, you know, grounder to the right spot that scores that run. That's how this team just does it. And they're not doing it, and then everybody wants to do it even more, and it doesn't work in baseball that way. Pressing is the word. And that's why we were talking to Christian Yelich the other day about, you know, they've had these meetings, they've had this slump, everybody sees it, and we just wanted to get some perspective from him about how do you get through these things. And his thing was, if everybody would just stop talking about it, it would be a lot easier to get through. Well, unfortunately, you know, when you have 40,000 people in the stands who are paying a lot of money to come to the games, people are going to talk about it when they get shut out four times in five games. But that's the dilemma that these players face. You have to acknowledge it. You have to try to be better. You have to work. But if you focus so much on it, then it makes it worse.
I think the moral of the story is never try, right? That's my takeaway from our conversation with Adam.
Just swing?
I mean, look, you guys, I mean, again, like golfers know this. When you, like even bad golfers like me, when you go out there and you don't really try, you know, you're better. And it's just a weird thing. And it's really like that in baseball. It's why they take all that BP, all those dozens of swing on the field and in the cage, so that when they go up there in the game, they're not thinking about the mechanics of their swing. They're just reacting, and they're just playing the game with emphasis on play. And that's when the team is great. And we saw it so in stretches last year where you could just see them having fun. You can see a team having fun. And this team did not look like it was having fun during some of those shutouts.
Real quick, Adam, before we let you go, there's a guy at AAA right now who in the seventh inning of a game last week hit 103 miles an hour. This is after throwing 70 pitches.
Jeez.
103, right? And we saw him during the course of spring training. His name is Jacob Mizorowski. With all the pitching issues the Brewers have had, are you surprised he's not yet been called up to have a start or maybe a long relief opportunity at the big league level?
Well, I'm not surprised for a couple of reasons, and I sort of laid this out in, if anyone subscribes to the old Brewers newsletter that I put out twice a week, I asked Matt Arnold and Tom Flanagan, their farm director, this question, why isn't, you know, essentially, like, when's this guy going to be up here? It's complicated when you are talking about a prospect of his level of impact, potential impact in the big leagues. Because with a guy like that, the general rule of thumb is when you promote him, you want him to be there for good. You do not want him to be a guy who goes up and down. And they've done that with some other pitchers. Logan Henderson, for example, is a great prospect. He has handled this really well. He's been up and down. Now he gets a couple starts in a row. He's starting tonight for the Brewers. So, but with a guy like Nazarowski who has a chance, I mean, you don't want to put names on these guys, but like he has a chance. Think of some of the top aces in baseball in recent years. He has the stuff to be that guy. You want him to come up and then just go. And that is the difficult sort of like art to it that they're considering. And look, there's also business considerations to this. And they, you know, no one's going to talk about that, but it's a factor. There are service time issues they need to think about for future years. And all of those things that nobody wants to talk about is part of this equation as well. So it is, at some point, the player forces his way here. He is doing everything in his power to force his way here. And the strikeouts are great. The 103 is great. The column that I look at in every one of his starts is walks, because that's been the limiting factor for him. And he's walked one guy in each of his last two starts while hitting 102, 103. That's incredibly promising for Jacob Mizorowski. So learn to how to spell his name now, and you'll be ready for when he comes up.
If you see him at the ballpark tonight, give him a high five. Adam McAlvey covers the Brewers for Brewers.com. Brewers and Orioles tonight, game two. And you can hear it here on WTMJ following the 6 o'clock news. Appreciate it, Adam. Good stuff as always. Thank you.
Thanks, Adam.
All right. See you guys.